do that this morning. Just lift your cup up to Him.
Amen.
And I am sure He will fill it. And let's go ahead and let our musicians have their seats. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. We're going to go ahead and get into the scriptures. We'll start with Matthew chapter 7. It's good to see each one of you. Good to have our visitors with us. Pray that they feel at home. Amen. Looking forward to September.
Yeah.
And then October. Amen. Sure enjoyed the rain, but boy, I tell you, after it rains, it sure takes the humidity and really goes up.
Yeah.
The price to pay there. But we appreciate all the things that the Lord does for us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 23. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there out there. But because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 3. So I have it on the screen. Chapter 3, verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk some time when ye walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, that Christ is all and in all. Amen. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we just bow our hearts to you now. Lord, each one of us is as your child that will come here. Lord, we just know that you have a blessing for us today out of your word, that you can speak to every heart. It does not lie within a man to do that. I don't claim to. No real minister would ever claim to be able to do that. But Lord, we do surrender ourselves to you and ask you to do it, that you can speak to every heart, to speak to every life. We love you, Lord, and we just commit this service and present ourselves to you and ask God that you move in every way that you desire. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And our title is today, Keep the Seed Pure. Amen. Keep the seed pure. May love the Lord.
Amen.
So, you know, of course, you know, I'm just a country boy, so I say things just the way that I can see them, the way the Lord shows them to me, and how they add up in my canary thinking, I guess you could say. And so, you know, when we're born, any creature is born as a species, right? We are the human species, and even within humans there are different segregations of cultures and so forth. And so, but when we're born as a species, we have certain characteristics that belong to that species. where we go, what we do, what we eat, how we act, who we hang together with. There's certain characteristics that belong to a species. And so when you look at all these different expressions, all these different characteristics, they declare what species we are, right? And so if I, you know, in other words, I could say to you, without calling the name of the species, I could say, well, they live in trees and they eat worms. You'd know what I'm talking about. So you see, the life that's lived, the characteristics, the things you do, the places you go, and how you act and all that, they speak of what species you are, right? And so we understand that. And so then to understand a species has to have a habitat.
Right.
There has to be a place where that species who wants to be what they are, wants to live the way they do and eat the things they eat and find their mates and live and all the things, there has to be a habitat which is conducive to that species, right? Or else they couldn't survive. You go out into the woods, I've said this before, you go out into the woods and you see deer living there, it's because that's a proper habitat for them. They are able to live there. Right. They are able to prosper there, right? And so any given species, whether it's birds or animals or fish, whatever, the environment that they're in has to be conducive to their life, their characteristics, or they couldn't live there.
That's right.
Right? And so we as humans, we understand what has to be and as humans. And so, you know, if you didn't have fire, you'd probably have to live closer to the equator. You couldn't live, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you understand that people migrate to certain areas. And so people will do things automatically, even without thinking. You gravitate to the things that makes it easier and makes it easier for you to live, you know.
Right.
So many of you know about how that for so many years I'd never met my dad. And, you know, I'd fold my arms a certain way, and you believe it or not, I always do it this way because it's more comfortable to do it that way than this other way. I mean, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You'll lay in a chair or lay in a bed or sit in a chair. You do it a certain way because you seek out what's more comfortable.
Right.
It's just natural. And so, you know, I've always said my bed feels so good when I lay down at night, but then a few hours later, it wants to kick me out, you know. But you know, you'll shift. When you get tired of sitting a certain way, you shift. And it's just your natural characteristic to seek out that which makes you feel better, or that which allows you to be more of what you are. And so we'll seek out foods and places and everything. That's habitat. Habitat,
yeah.
Right? What we do all the time. I'm a habitual eater, right? I eat three times a day or sometimes more.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can tell that, Brother Tony, you know. But you understand what I'm saying. We there is a habitat. We seek that habitat.
Yeah.
Right? Naturally, without even thinking about it, we gravitate to those things that allow us to be what we are.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And so we know that. And so I could say we as a species or any species has to seek out that habitat, but you do. You automatically do that.
Yeah.
So we know from the scriptures that we have to be born again. Right? And so if we're born again, that means we have to be born a new creature.
Yes.
Right.
A different creature.
Uh-huh.
You can't be born into the same creature, because if I was a certain creature and I was lost as a sinner, I was because of that, then if I had a rebirth of the same creature, I'd still be lost.
Uh-huh. Right.
So when you're born again, you have to be born into a new creature.
Right.
A new creation. And so, in other words, different characteristics, different desires, different things you do, different places you hang out.
Yep.
Got to be different than what it was the other way,
yeah.
Or it's the same life.
Yeah.
Right? And so then if it's a new life, then it has to be a new nature, new characteristics, and also has to have a new habitat.
Yeah.
Now, I understand we're still humans as creatures, a new born-again Christians. We're still creatures, but you understand where I'm going. Spiritually speaking, there is a habitat that is satisfying to a sinner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's also a habitat that is satisfying to a Christian,
yeah.
To someone who's been born again of a new nature, a different characteristics.
Yeah.
There's a habitat for them that's different than the other one.
Right.
We understand that. And so if there's a change of character, a change of life, a change of character, a change of habitat, And so it's a new species. And different than what it was, different actions. Very, very, just very simple concept there. And so it has to have a different habit too. And so we as Christians will naturally, spiritually speaking, will naturally move into the realm, into the things that helps us be a Christian.
Yeah.
You're not going to be hanging around things and doing things that's going to make it harder for you to be a Christian.
Right?
You now have a new life in you that wants to expand and wants to grow, because every, as I've said so many times, every creature, every species are expansionists. They want to expand. They want to multiply because God put it in them to multiply.
Yeah.
And when you become a Christian, you want to tell someone.
Right.
You want to expand, right? Because every life does.
Yeah.
And so we understand that. And so we as Christians, we're going to seek out and just naturally, so if we're really a Christian, really have that nature change, we're naturally going to be going after the things that makes it easier for us and makes us be stronger as Christians and want to be a Christian.
Right.
So there's a change. So you can tell that when you look at any creature, you can tell what's on the inside of them by the actions that they give, by what they live, how they act, what they say, what they think, what they do.
Right.
You can tell what's inside a person by what they show on the outside. Very simple concept. Okay? And so holiness has an appearance. Holiness has actions. Right? Holiness declares what's on the inside. And if you remember the word holy, the scriptures tell, God says, "Be ye holy, for I'm holy." And holy just means to be set aside, set apart, sanctified for God. Right? That's what it means to be set aside. Set aside for a purpose. In other words, our lives as Christians, we're not here just to live for everything. We're here to live for God.
Yes.
Right? We're here to live for Him. And so if you're living for Him, then we express characteristics and things that will show a life, show what's inside, show that we're living for the Lord.
Yeah.
And it can all be seen on the outside. See, these people that think you can be a secret Christian, it's not so. Every species will express outwardly what they are inwardly.
Yeah.
You see? And so you can't hide it. And so what kind of actions would show that we're holy? What kind of action would show that we are sanctified for God and God alone? Going to a bar room? Right? Committing adultery? Right? Do those actions show that you're set aside? So you understand what I'm getting at. There has to be, as a Christian, we have to live a separate life from the world. God has called us to do this.
Amen.
We know that. And so we can't live the same way as the world. We can't live the same way we did before God got a hold of our lives and give us the Holy Spirit. And so this is a true thing that happens in all Christians. All Christians, when you're born again, you're a new creature. You're a new creation. Satan's job is to muddy the waters.
That's right.
Satan's job is to make Christians think, or make people think they're Christians when they're really not. Right? We know that. Let me read a couple of quotes along the way here. So, back in the days of persecution in Rome, a Christian would make a mistake. He went into the arena and was fed to lions or something like that when they found him being a Christian for his testimony. But his soul was saved because he was purely unadulterated, a believer in God, and gladly sealed his testimony with his blood as his veins let loose in the holes of his body and the blood ran out. And he would scream up with royal faith and say, "Receive my spirit, Lord Jesus." But now the cunningness of the devil makes people believe that they're Christians when they're not. There's the thing. You don't have to seal. It's a more cunning day than it was when you had to seal your life away for your testimony. The devil has every cunning trap that he can, that he's a deceiver. And Jesus told us in Matthew 24 how that the day would be that we're living in, it would be the most deceitful day that ever lived, so close that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. Right?
Right.
That's what the scriptures tell us. Matthew 24. And so, Satan's job is to convince people to think that they're okay and when they've not had a new birth, to convince them that, hey, everything's fine, that they can live just whatever. In other words, convince that there's not a habitat for a change of nature, a change of habitat. And that's what his job is to do, is to deceive people that way. And so, but to do this, he has to deal with a major issue, and that issue is that if you're not born again, and you just think you're born again, your life will tell off on you.
Right?
And you can't fake it enough. You can't fake it enough.
Amen.
Because this concept we're talking about here will show itself.
Right.
You can't hide it. And so he has to convince people that their outward characteristics, what they live, where they go, what they do, doesn't matter. That you can still live the same as you used to and everything will be okay. And the reason why, because I keep saying this, is that Satan is not a creator. So when he gets his influence on your life, he can't create you a new whatever. He just has to pervert.
Right.
That's all he can do. He can just pervert what God has done because he's not a creator. So he wants to convince people that, well, you can live just the same way as you used to. It's no big deal because that's all he can produce. He can't produce a new birth, right? He's not a creator. He can't produce new creatures.
Right.
He can only pervert. But see, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. So let's look at what Jesus was actually saying here. He's saying, he's telling us in the scriptures we read there that there is a narrow way and few find it. You don't really hear people say a whole lot about that in modern day Christianity. But there's a narrow way and few there be that find it. And there's a broad way that most people go.
Right?
And it leads to destruction. But the way to life is a narrow way and few people on this planet find that.
Right?
That's what the scripture said. And I can say it as long as I stay in the Bible, I can say it, right? Because that's what Jesus said. And so we know that. So Jesus explaining this, saying these things, hey, it's a narrow way. It's a narrow way. He knows that they're going to try and come along later and make it out to be all kinds of things. See, Satan doesn't care. He can have 10 million ways you can be lost, but there's only one way you can be saved.
Yeah.
Right? There's a narrow way here. And so Jesus knew this, and so he goes from this statement saying it's a narrow way and so forth, and he says, because there's going to be false prophets that are going to come.
Yeah.
And they're going to false prophets, false teachers, and they're going to tell you otherwise. They're going to try and tell you that it doesn't require nature change and everything is going to be fine. You can just go on like normal. He knows this is coming, so he's warning the church. False prophets are going to come and tell you different.
That's right?
But he says, but you'll know them by their fruits.
Yeah,
right? You'll know them by their fruits. And, of course, we know here in this end time, as God has revealed so much of his word to us, we realize that there are people on the earth that can live good lives, and they can even pray for sick and have healings, and they themselves still are not right with God.
That's right.
We understand that. They're false anointed ones at the end times. We understand that because Jesus said many would come to me and say in that day, have I not cast out devils in thy name and done all these things? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
That's right.
Right? We have to come to understand that. And so we're going to talk about Balaam here in just a minute and realize Balaam had a genuine gift of God in his life.
Sure.
Right? But his heart was wrong.
Right?
And so he tried to use that gift contrary, and God would let him. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But we need to understand that in our day, that not everything that calls themselves Christians, not even those who can pray for sick and have them healed, doesn't mean they're leading you to the right place.
That's right.
Right? They are deviating from the Word of God, and it's so subtle that here in the end time, as it is said, that it would be so subtle, so deceiving, that if it was possible, it could deceive the very elect. Right? The very elect. If it were possible. Because I don't believe it is possible.
No.
But it would be so powerful. Let me just say this, that even God's Those he's chosen, his elected people that he knows is his, has got their name in the book, that even they at times will stop and say, well, what about this? And you have to understand that that's the kind of deception that we have in this end time. And it would, and so what I'm trying to get at with that is that, well, then, because they will say, well, we get results, don't we? And the only way to come back to it, to find it, to know them by their fruit we're looking for isn't, hey, can you pray for sick and then be healed? That fruit is a lot more, it goes way beyond that.
That's right.
And that fruit is that can they stay with God's word? Yes. Can they believe that word all the way?
Yes.
Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word.
Amen.
Right? And so, and remember, the word is creative. The spoken word is the original seed. All right? We've been talking about that a lot lately. And so, here in this modern age, we call it Satan's Eden. We realize that Satan has worked for 6,000 years because he's not a creator, but he's worked 6,000 years perverting things and getting things to just the place where he can deceive everybody except the elect. That's how powerful it is. And we need to remember that. You can't play around with those things. God has a way for his people to be delivered, and you have to stay with that way. And so this deception of Satan's has come to its peak, telling people they can just have worldly lust and still be fine and so forth. But there's a difference. Jesus said there's a broad way and there's a narrow way.
That's right.
Jesus said there's an easy way and there's a hard way. Right? Jesus said there was a way that many would go and there's a way that few would go. These are his words. So we realize that no matter how far we get, how late we get in time, we must always stay with truth. Because the scripture says it's truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know that Satan has a desire for the gates of hell to hem you in. And we understand by revelation, the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. Amen. And so we must stay with truth. And as we stay with truth, we must never, never mix God's word with any other teaching. Never mix it with any other idea, creed, dogma, whatever it is. Stay with God's word.
Yes.
And if you don't stay with God's word, if you mix it with something else, it becomes a hybrid. We know in the natural that's the way, that once you hybrid, make something hybrid, that it cannot reproduce the original.
Right?
As I've showed you, you have two different seeds, or like people or genetics, that only a part of the genetic, only part of that original here comes into the offspring, and only part of this comes into this new seed. So in this new seed is part of this and part of that, but there's original things that are missing now that's not in the new.
Right.
And so now there's a different life, a different characteristic that's being expressed because it's been hybrid.
Right.
So if we mix God's word with man's teaching, with creeds and dogmas and denominational mindset that's not in Scripture, is when it's not Bible, when we mix that, yeah, there's a lot. There's programs. There's things that can happen that may look really good, but just always remember that original life and that original word has been lost.
Yeah.
The spoken word's the original seed, and so in that original seed, it has the ability with fruit, the seed within itself, to perpetually recreate over and over and over because it's not been hybrid. But as soon as you mix that with something else, the creative power is gone. Mix God's word with man's ideas, and the power of that word is diminished right there because you've mixed it with something else. The only way that you can have a real move of God that's right and genuine is to have an encounter with that original word that God speaks into you, an experience where you're now born again, a new creature.
Right.
That's where creation comes from. It comes from the word of God that creates.
Yes.
That's where it comes from. You can't get it from mixed man's ideas. The only way you can have a real experience with God is that God moves in your life and speaks his word and creates you as a new creature.
Right.
Right? Then you have opportunity whether or not you take that and mix it with something else. We have to stay pure and stay with God's word.
That's right, man.
Amen. And not mix it with anything else. So Jesus tells there is a difference. And so Satan wants to come after all those things. But we can't mix We can't mix. This is typed out naturally in the Old Testament, as we're going to talk about here. Typed out, and here we are in the New Testament spiritually. God told Israel to remain pure, to be separate from all the other nations, right? To be holy, to be separate. And so if we go to the book of Numbers, we're going to read quite a few places there in the scriptures, and we'll tell her which ones to bring up here in just a moment. But you'll find this in Numbers chapter 23. Now you realize as Israel had come out of Israel, out of Egypt, excuse me. When they had come out of Egypt, they were not a perfect people. They had failures, they had faults, they had, you know, but you have to understand, and I say that because we as Christians, we're not perfect, right? But Israel was called. They were called of God. They were chosen of God. And so because they were chosen of God, then the presence of the Lord was there, and they had a shout of the king in the camp, and we'll talk about the different things there. But they were set apart from all the other nations. And let me remind you that God said concerning Abraham and concerning Abraham's seed, said all the nations who will bless you will be blessed, and anyone who will curse you will be cursed. And so you realize that this whole world, this entire world of all the different nations, God didn't choose every nation to work through like that. He chose Israel. And what so that you realize is that when God chose Israel and he said to Israel, I'm taking you as my firstborn. I'm taking you to myself. You're a holy people. You can't be like the rest of the world. They might be idolaters, but you're not. You're going to believe in one God. And I'm going to do a work in you that I'm going to bring Messiah out. And that Messiah will save the rest of the world. So the rest of the world, if they can just catch the revelation and honor Israel, they'll be blessed by it. But if you start trying to curse that one that God had picked out specifically, you start trying to curse them, then you'll be cursed. Why? Because if you're persecuting that one that God has chosen, you're persecuting the very blessing that's going to come back on you.
Right.
That's the same way with a man with a ministry, the fivefold ministry. God, they're not special people except that God has chosen to bless you through them. And so God expects everyone to honor the ministry as long as they're walking in righteousness and I'm staying with the word, right? And if you'll bless them, you'll be blessed. So this was the concept with the nations of the world, and well, those would bless Israel and bless Abraham. And so that comes down following Israel, the nations who would bless them would be blessed, those who would be cursed. Because through them, even New Testament talks about this, through them, God chose them that he could bring forth, right? So what if they weren't set aside? What if they weren't holy? What if they were just like the rest of the world? Then God couldn't come into them and bring forth a Messiah,
right?
If they mixed with everything else, if they weren't separated, then God could not work through them something that would be a blessing to all others, because they allowed themselves to be compromised.
Right.
This was the concept. God told them, you know, be separate. I've called you. Be separate. There's a reason why he wanted to be separate,
right,
so he could bring the blessings of the Messiah. And even today, a person who can be separated from the world and walk with God, God will do stuff in their life to bless others.
That's right.
It's the same concept. We understand that. And so in Numbers, you know, Israel was not a perfect people, but they were God's chosen people. And so King Balak hired Balaam, this prophet, and said, come down here and curse Israel. Maybe perhaps Balak, he was king over Moab, he was afraid that Israel would take over and take all of his land and whatever it might be. Now keep in mind what I just said. If you can recognize where God's blessing is, honor it, and you'll be blessed. But here now is King Balak, and he's looking at Israel, and you know, they were kin. They were kin. Go back in their lineage. They were kin. They were religious.
Sure.
And so if they could just look at it and say, I'll bless that, then they would have been blessed. But instead, they wanted to curse Israel. And all these other nations wanted to curse Israel.
That's right.
So you already know what's going to happen to all these other nations because they wanted to curse the one that God had chosen. Right? That's a very... And this concept is still with us today.
Yes.
Right? It's still here today. They wanted to curse Israel. And so he had Balak hired this prophet to come down there. And so he came down and he was going to curse Israel, but God would not let him. And so let's just see if we can get this all situated where we can look at what I feel like the Lord wants you to see here this morning in this. Numbers chapter 23, verse 7 through 10. So now this prophet, he's coming and he's going to try to open up and speak out a prophecy of cursing or to Israel. And when he opens his mouth to curse Israel, the blessings come out for Israel instead of cursings. And we're going to read those. We're just going to read these portions just to save time. These attempts that Balaam is making to try and curse Israel, we're going to see what God, through this genuine gift, what God says
yes.
in these attempts. And so he took up a parable and he said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, come and curse Jacob and come defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? He's here, he's going to curse Israel, and he says, how can I do that? How can I curse something that God hadn't cursed? Right? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him, and lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Shall not be reckoned among the denominations, the other spirits. Right? Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of a fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Here's his prophet, and under inspiration, he's saying, now keep the concept here. Oh, these are terrible people. Because they're not like us. Think about it. They're not like us, so let's curse them. And he goes and says, wait a minute. Hey, that's a blessed people. They're not to be reckoned among the rest of these spirits or other nations or whatever. They're to be Christians alone. I'm paralleling it today. They are set aside. They're not to be reckoned. God said so. And in that inspiration, he says, when I come to my end, when my days are, let me be like that.
Right.
Let me be like that. Sanctified, separated people is not like the rest of the world. Because
right.
through them God's working.
Yeah.
Let me be like that.
Right.
Think about it. There's a reason why God wants us to be separated from the world.
Amen.
So let's go to verse 18 through 24. This is his second attempt to come and curse Israel. You'd think he'd wake up a little bit sooner than that. He's a pretty foolish guy. Finally had to have an animal talk to him in a man's voice. The scripture said the madness of the prophet. And he took up this parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Now he's talking back to the king that sent him. Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie. Show you here. We done told you. How can we curse this people?
Right.
But here you are. You're still trying to.
Yeah.
Right? God's not a man that he's a lie.
Right.
Right? He doesn't need to be questioned a second time. Right. He's not a man that he should lie. Neither is his son a man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good?
Right.
Of course he would. Right? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Think about it. I'm hoping you are hearing the blessing that's conveyed upon you, a separate people who won't mix with the world. This is what he's saying. I have blessed them, and I can't reverse it.
Right?
Amen. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Neither have he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it should be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Here's a people that come out of Egypt. They weren't perfect, but because God has chosen them, the people would step back and go, whoa, what is this that God has done with his people? That he's among them. And that you can't even come up with an enchantment. You can't even bring a curse upon them.
Right.
Because they're God's people.
Yeah.
You can't even curse them. What is this that God has done?
Yeah.
What has God done with believers?
Yes.
What has he done? Amen. That's what the world should stand back and say. I don't agree with this guy, but man, God is with him.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Behold, this people shall rise up as a great lion. You know, the lion's a conqueror, right? And lift himself up as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink of the blood of his slain. In other words, this people, Israel, they're going to be conquerors.
Yep.
Every enemy that tries to curse them, they'll overcome them. Every spirit that tries to come at them, they'll overcome it.
Yep.
Amen. Now let's go to chapter 24, verse 4 through 9. This is the third time. He had said, which heard the words of God, and which saw the vision of the Almighty falling in a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. This is what God said about him.
Right.
This is what God says about a believer.
Yeah, that's right.
That he's called, who is separate from the world.
Yeah.
Oh, what a people. You know, God's own heart after them, right? Because they're after God's heart. He's the apple of his eyes upon him. You can see the reflection of them in his eye because he's watching them, right? How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, you know, where there's plenty of water. Right, as the trees of however you say that word, aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters, he shall pour the waters out of his bucket, and his seed shall be in many waters, all around the world. Right, their seed shall be all these places, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Now it's beginning to talk about the Messiah coming. Okay? God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies. His enemies. Those who try to come against him, right?
Yeah.
Those who try to curse him. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. Right? He couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesses thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. There it is, see?
Yeah.
Amen. So every time he wants to curse Israel, this is what he's saying, that the blessings are coming out, and God is pronouncing and saying, they're my people.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You can't curse them. And so Numbers chapter 24, verse 15 through 19. Here he is again. He took up a parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision, the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. So my Messiah coming for now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be possessed. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemy, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth in the city. Amen. So now he's beginning to talk about this Messiah. And so what I want you to see here that this people that everybody else wants to criticize, everybody else wants to curse, said out of him, out of that's going to come the move of God that's going to conquer all these nations that have tried. So out of Israel, not just Israel, but there, because the king is in them, and the move of God will come through them, and that move of God will conquer all others. Right? That's what he's showing there. This is natural type in the Old Testament, typing spiritually. So, to a people who stay pure, that don't mix with the world, there's a people that God can do something with. That God has said, I'm with them. And nobody, no enchantment, no curse, nothing can harm them. Because they're separate. They're holy unto me.
Right?
But what happened? What happened? Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. And unto the angel of the church of Pergamos write these things, saith he which hath a sharp sword and with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Now look here. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there that hold the doctrine. Now this is New Testament. That hold the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam had a doctrine.
Yeah.
He's trying to curse Israel, but he couldn't.
Sure.
But he went behind the scene and he preached a false doctrine.
Yes.
That caused a problem for Israel.
Right.
This is what we're talking about. He had a doctrine who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Wow. Be separate. You're not to be among the nations, reckon among the nations. And this false prophet comes around and convinces the king and says, I can't curse him. I cannot curse him, but I tell you what you can do.
Yep, come on.
I tell you what you can do. If you can get them to mix with other nations, if you can get them to mix with you, mm-hmm. if you can get them to compromise on thus saith the Lord,
yeah.
that's all you have to do.
Because
he knew that God said, hey, be a separate people.
Yeah.
Now think about this. Don't mix the seed.
Amen.
Stay pure.
Yes. Amen.
If you mix the seed, God can't bless it anymore.
That's right. Amen.
Very simple. Bring it to our day. Stay with thus saith the Lord. Stay with the word.
Yeah.
Not with man's ideas.
Amen.
If you'll stay with that, God's with you. But so he tricked him. He said, I can't curse them, but I tell you, if you can just convince them to come over to your little feast at Baal Peor. Come over there and begin to feast and just, you know, it's okay. We're all the same. You know, we have a background. We come from the same lineage, you know, and so we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's no difference. So you know what I said? You have to be different. If you're new creatures, you got to be, you're not, there's a difference. So here he's trying to convince, and he convinces Israel to come over and begin to have some feast and, you know, well, let's just have some fellowship and something. And so that's what he did. And so we'll go to Numbers 25, verse 1 through 5, and see what happened. And Israel of old and Shittim and the people began to commit whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people to eat, and they bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Here's a people that God said, you can't even touch them as long as they stay pure with me.
Yeah.
Right? But the moment they mix, God can't bless them.
That's right.
And so we find out here that what they did is Israel began to mix and mingle with Moab, that then the curse of God came upon them. And so, and Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. Right? So here in the New Testament, in the third church age, this is repeating. God is speaking to the New Testament church and saying, you know, to his believers, but he says, you know what? There's a movement in the midst of the church that's beginning to move in. And I have a problem with this. Because this movement that's in the church is trying to get you to compromise with the word and start mixing with other ideas and with idolatry.
Yes.
Right? And when you start mixing like that, it will lead to fornication. Remember, we are to be the bride of Christ.
Right.
Our womb is to only be, to be reserved for the word and the word alone.
That's right.
You start believing another teaching. Now you're no longer a chaste virgin, as Paul said. And so here it is in the New Testament, third age. There he's saying, listen, there's a movement there. It's a doctrine of Balaam. You're allowing people to come in and begin to tell you that it's okay. It's okay to mix with this other religion. It's okay for Protestantism to mix with Catholicism. Follow me? It's okay. And God says, I have a problem with that. Because here in the New Testament, if you do that, God can no longer bless it. If you'll stay pure, then the blessing with God is automatically there when you stay with his word.
Amen.
And so in the New Testament, God is bringing this, says, hey, look, you have the doctrine of Balaam, which happened back there. And he could be saying, look, and he is saying this, is hey, go back and look at it. Look what happened to Israel when they mixed with another people. They didn't stay separated like I told them.
Yeah.
I can't bless that. And it's what he's telling us over in the New Testament as Christians.
Yep.
Don't mix
right.
with unbelief.
Right.
Because if you do, God can't bless it. And so it's repeating again. This is in God's Bible.
Yes.
It's not some idea. This is recorded in Scriptures, both the Old Testament and New Testament, to the church saying, hey, he that hath ears, let him hear. Listen to what this is.
Right.
Don't have the doctrine of Balaam in your midst, because it will cause the same thing that it did back there.
That's right.
Exactly what he's saying there. Numbers 25, verse 6 through 9. Let's look at this. Look how severe this was. Oh, well, it's not that big a deal. It is a big deal.
That's right.
It is a big deal today.
Yes, right.
And saying, oh, you can just now, you can still do these things in the world and have nature in the world. And, you know, that's not really saying you're not. It's a lie.
Right.
When Satan opens his mouth and starts talking to you, know he's trying to get you.
That's right.
Because he wouldn't be trying it if he, you know, if he's going to have an effort, he's trying to accomplish something. So, as he's told him, go slay these men, the leaders that's caused this. And so, he says, and behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of the congregation of the children of Israel, and who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Let me set this scene here, that this curse is now, these leaders, and a curse is now in Israel, and right in the midst of all this chaos where God's blessing is leaving them because they've done this, and the audacity of some man of Israel who's fallen to this lie and to go out and he's get a woman of another of this other tribe and bringing her in.
Yeah.
And the scripture said in front of Moses and in front of a people, in front of the church who didn't realize something was wrong, the church that was crying and weeping, oh God help us, and in the midst of that audacity to walk among the righteous,
yes,
who were crying out to God and bringing in a false thing anyway. Satan's got audacity.
That's right.
And he'll get you to do it.
That's right.
And right in the midst of a people who's praying and seeking for God and a move of God, and as this false spirit will get on you, and you'll be doing things right in the midst of your people.
Yes.
Of God.
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure those people, you know, they probably didn't think, well, I'm just going to go out here. And they thought it was okay.
That's right.
Satan wants you to think it's okay.
Yeah.
But you're busy doing something because of a curse, because of a compromise, because of not staying separate. Then here it comes. The audacity. And so this guy comes in and brings this woman and commit adultery with her, fornication, and all come bring it to his brethren. The filth.
Yeah.
But there happened to be a real priest there, Someone who was a real man of God that would stand there for the people. His name was Phinehas, and he said the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest. And when he saw this, he rose up from among the congregation, and he took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent, and he thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through their belly, so the plague was stayed from Israel.
That's right.
Amen. And there they died in the plague. In that plague was 24,000 people. That's how serious this was.
Yes.
Do we want to see 24,000 among the bride?
No.
Spiritually die?
No.
That's exactly because God can't bless it if it's mixed with something else.
That's true.
This he takes and he goes in and he destroys that thing. 24,000 people. You know, God never forgave Israel for that.
That's right.
He'd say, well, why? Why couldn't he? Because when you hybrid something, you've changed it.
Yeah.
That original life and the original seed can continue on with that blessing. But when you mix it with something else, it's done. There's no way to take that and bring it back.
Yeah.
Right. So God could not, how could God overlook that? God said, I called you out. You're a holy people. You got a pure seed, a pure calling, a pure commandment for me to live for me. And you've mixed it. And because of the laws of seed and reproduction, you've mixed it. I can't listen to you. The power of the spoken word has left you because you've mixed it with something else. That's what he's saying. See, the power of the spoken word in this day, if we mix it with things,
yes,
then we wonder why's God not doing the things that maybe he should be doing, right? Because the blessing is automatically there when you stay with God.
Yes.
Stay with his word. Amen.
Amen.
And so, God didn't forgive them that because they had mixed and went on. And so, you know, that was in the Old Testament, and that's the way it was. Well, we know that's a type of it over here. That a church, a move of God like Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, God has spoke a moving into their life.
Yep.
And now they come forth, Lutherans and Wesley, whatever, and they come forth and, man, they're blessed, but then they mixed.
Right here.
And when that happened, God's no more with it. So what can God do? The only thing God can do is use his creative spoken word and speak and cause a new message to come forth.
Right.
And when he creates it, that's a pure seed.
Yep.
A pure movement of God.
Yes.
And they'll be blessed as long as they stay pure. But when you start mixing with man's doctrines,
right,
that's not Bible, not with the continuity of God's holy program,
right,
you start mixing it with things like God would have to leave his hands off of it too. And this is what we're confronted with.
That's right.
A move of God where we know he's done something in our day and we've been called to stay with it.
Yep.
We must come to this reality to know that we can't mix with other things. We've got to stay with his word.
Amen.
Amen. There's a purpose for staying pure. I want God to do something through my life to bless those out there.
Yes.
Not, and you too, but you understand that others could be brought in. And so there was a ministry there, Phinehas. The scripture said that 25 verse 10 through 13, God was so pleased with Phinehas. The Lord spake to Moses and said, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. You can stand for righteousness and stop the death that's trying to take God's
people. That's right.
Amen. Need somebody to stand and tell you the truth.
Yes.
Somebody will stand there and tell you, don't mix with these worldly things.
Yes.
Like I said, Satan If he's trying to come at you, you know he's trying to take you out.
Right.
If he's trying to get you to compromise what you know is God's word, you know what he's got in mind.
Yes.
But here was this one. And so God said, "Wherefore, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace." You want to walk in peace?
Amen.
Don't compromise.
Right.
You got turmoil in your life? It's because you compromised. God's word is not, he's not mocked. His word is real. So here's the blessing he gives to Phinehas. Here's what he gives to the one who's willing to stand for what's right. And he shall have it, his covenant of peace. He shall have it and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Amen. You know, they talk nowadays when they're trying and Israel's been all scattered and they want to come back and build the temple and they want to have an original priesthood. Find this guy's offspring.
Mm-hmm.
Find it.
Amen.
It's here. Mm-hmm. Today, because God's word said it.
Right.
Right? Find this guy. There's your real priesthood. A man who would stand and tell you the truth and not compromise.
Right.
And tell you to stay away from all this stuff. That's why he's a priest.
Amen.
That's why God calls him, because he's going to stand for what's right and not mix with these other things of the world. That's why.
Yes.
Right. And so God just confers that blessing upon him and his offspring from then on out.
Amen.
Amen. And so that's a true ministry.
Yes.
Who's zealous to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Amen. False teaching leads fornication.
That's right.
Physically, spiritually.
Yes. Right.
Think about it.
It's true.
That original sin in the garden. Think about it.
Yes.
In every culture out there that's away from God, look how they live.
Yes.
Right? It all goes to this. You might expect animals in the barnyard to live the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But not God's people. Not
right.
People.
That's right.
Right?
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 You understand? And so, it always, false teaching, it starts somewhere, and it, like I've said so many times, the devil doesn't come and say, I'm the devil, I'm here to ruin your day. He comes in subtly.
That's right.
But you know where he's taking you.
Yes.
And it's ever so gradual, and so one little compromise or another little compromise, and because it's compromise and it's compromise and it's compromise, then you don't realize it's compromise, and it's getting bigger and a bigger compromise, and you don't realize.
Yeah.
And it's still, you still feel, oh, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the fruit.
Yes.
Right.
Look at the fruit it's producing.
Right.
Chaos. No peace.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the fruit.
Right.
See? I always said, children, stop doing that. And then when you get ready to correct them, they have the audacity to look at you and go, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why are you spanking me?
Uh-huh.
Well, because I've told you.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Now think about that. Look at the fruit.
Yeah.
And people have the audacity to stand back and go, why is things going wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You should know. As a matter of fact, you do know. You're just trying to get it over on God, like you would your parents or whatever, right? We tried to get over, you know. It don't work. Not with God. Right? He can't give you a pass if you compromise. Amen. So now, I didn't have her pull it up, but in 1 John chapter 2, 15th verse, it says, if you wish to read it, the Bible says, if you love the world or the things of the world, it's because the love of God is not in you. Now listen to this. God's power to transform is where this comes from. If you love the world or the things of the world, it's because the love of God is not in you. Now, the word there is not earth. God don't have a problem with you looking out and enjoying a sunset or, you know, that's not what it is. But the word, the Greek word there is cosmos. It means the world order. Now, there's the ways of man. The system of man. Now, let me clarify that. Because Most of the world is on the Broadway. Most of the world aren't saved people. Most of the world is not filled with the Holy Ghost and following God's leadership. So the cosmos of the world is an ungodly cosmos.
Right.
And if you're looking at that, all those things, and if you love that, love the world, the cosmos of the world. If we love the fashions of the earth, of the world, if we love the trend of the day, well, that's a big one. If we love the trend of the day, if we think, oh, this is a wonderful time, oh, we have all these things, if you think that, it's because your thinking is wrong. It is perverted of the devil. For if you love the world order and the things of this present world, it's because the love of God is not in you. Amen. Why? Because if you have a new if you've been made a new creature, you're going to be seeking after the things that pertaining to the life that you are now as a new creature. And as Christians, our life is to seek things from above.
Yes.
And not these earthly things. It's okay to want to work hard to maybe get a new vehicle or do an upgrade on your house or something like that. But the one thing that should consume you, I say consume you, could occupy you all day long,
yes,
is pleasing the Lord.
That's right.
And looking to the things of heaven.
Amen.
That his kingdom come, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Let's read this verse 1 through 4 one more time, and then we'll let you go. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you've been born again, if you've had become a new creature, right? If you then be risen with Christ, and seek those things that are above,
right,
where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now listen, people can argue about this, but you understand the Bible is teaching a concept here, that if you're risen with Christ, you're dead to this world. That there's something about this world and this cosmos and the ways of man and all the things they run after that no longer you chase after.
Right?
And we're to take the Word of God and we're to examine our walk. And it's because these people like that bringing a Midianite woman in, if they had just would stop and analyze the word, thus saith the Lord, analyze the commission, analyze what the whole purpose of God calling Israel is about, stop and analyze that, they'd know what they was doing was wrong.
Yes.
But they got underneath an influence and didn't realize it. And so that's why the preachers stand, a thin hall standing and tell you, look at the word. The scripture said that we're dead to this world. That there's something about this cosmos that we should hate now.
Yes. Right. That's right.
That there's something that's godly that seeks after the things of God.
Yes.
And to be able to recognize in your life all these Balaams that are trying to convince us that it's okay to dabble in these things. God said be separate.
Yes.
Come out from among him and be separate, saith the Lord. Right?
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Keep the seed pure. Yeah. Amen. That's why I titled that what I did today. Keep the seed pure. I want God to be able to work in my life.
Yes.
But if I mix that with something else, you can't do it.
No.
Right?
And I want to leave that with you. If you want God's blessings to step up in your life, go back and look at things. And anywhere where you're compromising, give that to the Lord.
Amen.
And you know what he'll do? The power of the spoken word will speak into your life. And that burden of guilt will leave you.
That's right.
That man can't do that.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
God, that's when you raise up from that altar and you walk away and you realize something's different.
Yes.
I'm a changed being.
Yeah.
Amen. Creation has created in you a new birth, a move of God. You say, maybe I was born again years ago and I've had an experience with God, but if you compromise, you need an encounter with thus saith the Lord.
Right.
Back to that word.
Yes.
To take these things out of your life and once again give you pep in your step and joy on your face.
Amen.
Amen. God has it for you.
That's right.
He tells us in the New Testament, these things were written for our admonition.
That's right.
Amen.
We would be foolish to not go back and look at those things, And even when the New Testament calls our attention to it and says, go back and look at that thing. And you know where that moved in the New Testament, what it's brought us today.
Yes.
Harlots and whores.
Yep.
The system, the Bible says, harlots and whores. That's what that compromise of Balaam brought.
That's right.
A church world that God at the end says, they're harlots, they're whores, they're not even my bride. That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's a serious thing. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and let the musicians come. Lord, as we come to the end of the service, I have shared what you put on my heart, Lord. Trusting and believing, Lord, that these things were intended for your people today. Lord, I know as a minister, Brother Daniel and myself, we don't sit around and try to come up with our own ideas. But Lord, we shut ourselves with you. And we hear that still small voice that brings to these things that we share. And Lord, that's all we can do. But now as your word has been spoken, just a man over man's lips, but if it's your word, Lord, then it is your word. And if it's true and it's undefiled, then it has the ability to create and bring back and restore it. And so I pray, God, as your people have heard this today, that each one, Lord, if they just was say, you know, and I recognize that's exactly what's happening in my life. Lord, if they'll just meet you right now in their little prayer closet of their heart and make a decision. Right here is where we're going to change it. We're gonna get back to listening to God's word. I pray, God, that you will speak once again a new creation into their life. Lord, that you would recircumcise their hearts and their experience. So once again, they have joy in knowing they've set themselves aside apart for you. We love you, Lord. We just ask this blessing on each one. And Lord, as time goes on, may me and Brother Daniel and the ministers that come, ministers behind this pulpit, may we be like Phinehas.
Yes.
Not compromised. Lord, I won't do it. Not that I'm anything great, but my desire in my heart is, Lord, I'm staying with this message. I'm staying with it, Lord, regardless of what happens, because I know that it's right. And I know in the end, Lord, it'll come out. We thank you for asking these things in Jesus' name. Understand that this battle I'm fighting right here is exactly what Brother Tony was talking about in church.
Yes.
And while we're out here, defeat our enemies.
Amen.
While we're out here, believe it. While we're out here, not compromise. and then come back later and go, oh, I did it again. I compromised again. We had a, God wants to move us to a place we're right in the battle.
Yes.
We're not falling and having to get back up again, and that's okay if it, that's what happens, but to not fall, right? To not fall and stand there and be that invincible army. That's what God has for us. Amen. So maybe may God grant that to you as we go. Amen. Let's sing this again.